Welcome back to Panels Full of Hunks. My name is Chris, and on this episode, we are covering issue 7 of Greg Pak's 2025 Supernatural comic run. We're in 2026, but listen, the run originated in 2025, so that's what it is. This time, we got artwork by Daniel Scalise. I'm gonna, I like fight for my life every time I have to pronounce a new name. Sam and Dean is what I cut my teeth on. Those are very easy for my weak mouth to pronounce. We get anything past that. Windler, Steph Windler. I'm fighting for my life on that one too. What's up, everybody? So we're finally back. I think, unfortunately, these episodes are going to have to just be really far apart because the issues are now, we're caught up, and it's, I think, once a month that they come out. We got lucky. We got the Valentine's Day episode, and if this continues to run in tandem with the upcoming Castiel comic, then maybe we'll get a little bit more frequency to these episodes. But until then, this is what we get. This is the pace that we're at. Or, you know, we're an extra week late because I didn't read it last week. Anyway, I had to read my notes from the previous episode to remember where exactly we were here. I was used to reading these every other week, and now I've gone, you know, a whole month. So had to do a little bit of catch up. Had to remember we got the ghost car. We'll get into it. So the art style is a little bit different in this. It has, I don't want to call it a more anime style, because that's, anime is not a style. Anime is an animation. It's in a medium of art. But it has a slightly, I don't know, a rounder, brighter, colorful art style in this. Which, I mean, I don't dislike it. I don't dislike it at all. It's just slightly different. Gets the job done. Sam's hair still looks pretty good. You know, that's really what it's all about for me. But, okay, so starting off, we get a look at 10 years ago in Pittsburgh. And we see Effie Windler. She's getting dropped off at home. She's, you know, stumbling home drunk. When she sees her dad out in the backyard burying something, she comes up and she's like, hey, what the hell are you doing? And he just tells her, if you ever want to run a company, if you want to be as successful as I am, you need to learn when to not ask questions. And then he just tosses her a shovel and basically makes her dig with him. And she just goes along with it. Whatever he's doing, she just goes along with it. She's fine with it. This is a very clear parallel to John Winchester in the way that he interacted with his own sons. We cut back to present day. The ghost car is still trying to run Effie down and kill her. With the boys in tow, they're running alongside her trying to stop her from being killed. They run through a playground. You see the car crash through like a swing set, through a slide, and it gives Dean and Effie here the opportunity to kind of like fall into each other's arms and dramatically stare into each other's eyes for a moment. It's just like that classic trope. Because, you know, if Dean is on screen with anyone that's not his brother, he's going to have some chemistry. So it's, the comic book is no different. But of course, there's no time for that. They get back up and they keep running. With Sam kind of like, you know, giving them a teasing look. I don't ever want to have a teasing look from Sam. I'm sorry that I use those words. I'm sorry that I use that combination of words. Also, I'm sorry I'm losing my voice as I'm speaking. I've been very ill the last week. I can't. Guys, fellas, ladies, friends, folks. There we go. That's the one I wanted. I can't catch a damn break. I feel like I'm getting sick. Something's wrong with me all the damn time now. I gotta sort it out. I gotta figure it out and lock in. Anyway, back to the comic. Eventually, the car stops again. It stops chasing them, and it opens its doors and continues to play more of the radio report. Last time, we heard a radio report about Jeannie Hernandez. She was the former owner of this car, a young woman, and she was killed by a driver in a Windler-owned car. And this time, on the radio, we're hearing a report that Stefan Windler, Effie's father, Steph's father, reported the car missing 30 minutes before the fatal crash. I mean, that's, we can put two and two together. The boys are immediately like, okay, so your father had the police cover this up, clearly. Like, this was clearly your father, obviously, right? Effie, for her part, denies knowing anything about it. And, you know, the way that she is depicted in these panels, it's clear that she is being truthful. She really doesn't know what all this is about. But it's clear that this isn't going to go away on its own. If they keep trying to run from it, it's going to keep chasing them. So what else can they do? They just get back into the haunted car to see where it takes them. Unfortunately, one of the Windler goons spots them leaving. That night, they arrive in Pittsburgh, and it looks like they're at the home of Jeannie Hernandez. Her father answers the door, but to their surprise, he recognizes and thanks Steph. He says, "Oh, your father, he took care of us after the accident. He paid for Jeannie's funeral. He set up a scholarship in her name." So that is surprising. They didn't expect that twist, but it seems, the car definitely led them here. And when the father sees the car, he kind of just collapses and he cries, and he was never able to see it after the accident. They told him it was totaled, but he knows that there's something up with this car. It's not haunted by his daughter. He makes that very clear. She is not here. She is passed on. This is not his daughter's doing. This is something else. And in his words, he says, "Sometimes when you put enough love into a thing, sometimes it loves you back." That's interesting. So we're going to get into this a little bit more, but this thing was infused with so much love and care that it became real. It was given a soul. I don't know exactly how that works, but they don't use the word soul, but that is effectively what is going on here. It's not haunted by a ghost. It's haunted by love. Aren't we all? So after this, the three of them, Sam, Dean, and Effie, go to a motel, because what else are they supposed to do? And the three of them kind of wonder what the point of all the season even was. And if the ghost car didn't want vengeance, then what did it want? Sam thinks that it just wanted to, share its story, to be heard. And him and Dean kind of bicker about this, about Sam being the sensitive one or whatever. And maybe Dean can't relate to things wanting to express themselves or whatever. So Sam storms out and goes for a walk. And I thought that was going to be more significant, but it was not. Steph here, Effie, I don't remember which one we're calling her by, so I just keep going back and forth. She still suspects that the car wants to go after her dad, no matter what Sam might think. And Dean is like, "So what is the deal with your dad?" But she immediately just turns that back on Dean. She's like, my dad stole John's journal for a reason. And if there's something dangerous and powerful in there that my father would want, then what the hell is John's deal? And yeah, Dean's like, "Oh, that's a pretty good point. Fair enough." He gives her the short version of their family business origin story about how, their mother was killed by a demon and their father became obsessed with that and has raised them in this life, knowing about all this stuff, hunting all of this stuff. She doesn't actually have all that much, backstory to give her own father. She says, her dad's motivations are pretty straightforward. He likes money and he doesn't want to die. Those are pretty standard, villain motivations, long life or immortality, lots of money. There you go. What else? What else could you ask for, I guess? So they're trying to figure out what exactly he would want out of the diary. And it's not a diary, but we call it Dad's diary. What he would want out of John's journal. John's journal, I don't care about the alliteration. It doesn't hit the same as Dad's diary. I'm sorry. She's like, "What's the worst thing you could imagine happening if somebody read that? Like, what's the worst thing that they could pull out of that?" And I thought that Dean was going to, come up with something there. But no, we just cut to 12 hours later. The car has driven the three of them. Sam's back. I seriously thought Sam was going to get kidnapped or something. Because Steph Windler's or the Windler goons. I don't like saying that. Windler goons. Those guys are after Sam for some reason. Specifically, they want Sam because he appeared in that old book in that library. So that's going to come up at some point, right? That's going to be a thing at some point. It hasn't come up yet, but it's going to. But so the Windler goons are after Sam, and I expected them to kidnap him while he was off for his walk, but that did not happen. Instead, we cut 12 hours later. The three of them have now been driven to New York by the non-ghost car. Can a thing still be haunted if there's no ghost in it? Because it's acting haunted. I don't know. That's a question for another time. So they're in New York. They are here presumably to confront Steph's father. There's salt outside of the car, or I'm sorry, outside of the building. It sort of looks like a skyscraper, not skyscraper, whatever, a big fancy office building. There's salt outside, but that does not stop the car because it's not haunted by a ghost. And the car just drives straight through the front window of this building, so they're able to make their entry. Not the quietest entry, that's for damn sure. And so they start to unload their gear that they're going to need. They don't know if they're going to fight. They're just... I think one of them says, Dean maybe jokes, like, I hope your dad's a vampire, because then I can kill him. Because, you know, killing people is not really Sam and Dean's vibe. They mostly just want to hunt monsters. Just going in and killing dudes is not really, like, their bag. It's effectively the same thing, but still, there's a little bit of a moral issue there. But this comic book, it knows what I want. And so the boys, they don't pull out guns. They pull out swords. Just a couple of the broadswords. They even pull out a shield. Like, they just, like, they're just sword and sorcery in this bitch again. I'm so excited for them. I'm so glad that they just keep having them use swords for some reason. I feel like somebody listened specifically to my requests and gave these boys some swords. And then they ratchet it up a notch because they get attacked by... quickly identify them as not robots, but these things look like robots. They look like Transformers or Gundams. Like, they are just that's what they look like. There's no other way around it. This looks like Optimus Prime just transformed, and he has like a glowing red sword or something. This shit is popping off. Every issue, it feels like we're getting some sort of absurd monster that we never could have dreamed of. We had Ghost Cowboys, we had Eldritch Horrors, and now we've got Transformers. And we quickly learn as we're watching these things fight, because everybody just scrambles. You get attacked by fucking Transformers. What are you supposed to do? Everybody scrambles, runs around, tries to hide, tries to fight back. It's very ineffective. Sam's firing a crossbow. That's not doing shit. These are fucking Transformers. But Steph identifies that these are not electronic. These things are running on hellfire. She can identify that hellfire very easily because, you know, she did send the boys to hell. I think she went to, did she go to hell too, quickly, briefly, and then come back out? I can't quite remember. And that's when Stefan Windler, Effie's father, finally appears to explain what's going on as these things beat down on the boys. So he quickly clears the air. No, I did not kill Jeannie Hernandez. One of my employees accidentally killed her, you know, drunk driving accident. That's nothing to him. It wasn't him, but it's nothing to him. He just covered it up. He just didn't want the company's name associated with it. And so blah, 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 that's it. But he just so quickly dismisses all of this. But what caught his attention after all of that went down was Jeannie's ability to bring things to life with love. Presumably in the accident, something happened with the car. They were able to kind of figure out, oh, there's something supernatural going on here. There is something otherworldly happening with this car. And so what's a person like Stefan Windler going to do but try to take advantage of that ability? He knows it exists, so now he needs to research it. He needs to figure out how to make it his own. And he's presumably been looking into that for all of this time. And finally, I guess with Dad's diary, he has now found the quote-unquote cheat code to access this ability. He doesn't love anything enough in this world to be able to infuse love into it to bring it to life. So what's the answer? What is the ingredient in all of these spells? What's the at the core of every spell that these boys ever cast? It's always blood. That's kind of like the last line, the cliffhanger we leave here. If it's not love, it's blood. And it's actually really funny. That is kind of the core of the first Witcher novel, all those short stories. It's either love or blood. It's like this whole thing in all of these stories. I think that exact line ends one of the stories in the Witcher novel. I only really remember that because we did a podcast on it forever ago. But it stood out. And it was a catchy line in that story, and it's a catchy line here too. But yeah, I think that's kind of pretty central to supernatural. Almost everything comes down to love or blood with these motherfuckers. But yeah, so the last panel we see is one of these, you know, Transformers, one of these creations attacking Sam, kind of slamming him into the ground, and then we're just hit with the to be continued. We don't know what's going to happen next. But yeah, another pretty exciting issue. These episodes were always so short. I always expect to go on for like way longer, but because that first episode that I did of this, I think was a little bit closer to like the 30 minute mark because it was a longer issue. But these have all been pretty short so far. So yeah, I my favorite thing about this series so far, this comic book series, is that it's just doing things that the show wasn't able to do. Why not have Sam and Dean fight against Ghost Cowboys? Why not have them fight Transformers or whatever? Why not have them use swords? You know, it's not practical to do in the format of a CW show. It's not really possible to do some of the stuff in a CW show. But you can do it in comic book. That's the beauty. You don't even have to animate it. You just have to draw it. It's the perfect medium for exploring the imagination, and I'm glad that they are having a little bit more fun with this, because they could have kept it as grounded as, you know, some of the stuff in season one or season two was, but where would be the fun in that? You know, I could just go watch season one, season two. This is giving us, first of all, its own contained plot line with this Steph Windler stuff, but also giving us these horrors, monsters, challenges. Maybe most of them don't end up being all that big of a challenge for the boys, but I don't know. I could see them fight skeletons with swords. I'm not complaining about anything, you know. This comic book cost me like $2.99. I'm not complaining about anything. The boys are fighting with swords, and yeah, that's what I will see what happens. I don't know. I just certainly did not expect Transformers to appear. They fit well with the art style. The new artist here. He had a real knack for creating these, for coloring them, for giving them a really lifelike appearance. They look great. So yeah, it's play to your strengths, you know, and just throw some Gundams in there, throw some Transformers in there, do whatever you gotta do. All right, everybody. I don't know when we will be back, because it'll be like a month. Otherwise, you can listen to Don't Give Up Punks, or you can listen to the new Persona 4 podcast Days Like Today. If I don't know what time you'll be listening to this in the future, but there could be a local Bone Snows Gaming podcast like public feed on your podcast app somewhere. I'm not 100% sure, but that is something that I'm probably going to put out in the future. So there you have it. All right, everybody, thank you for your time, and I'll catch you next time. Bye.